Micah chapter 6. I want to look at the topic. Well, let's read the verse and we'll see. Don't look at it, but on walking with God. Let's see what the Word of God says about that. Of course, you guys are all there now, and I have to get to it. Micah chapter 6. And in verse 6, it says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" You know, a lot of times people, these verses talk about, what works can I do to, you know, come before him and have him accept me? Verse 7, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" All the works that you can do, right? Is that what God wants? "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" You know, all the detailed works you could do for him. Verse 8, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Right? To walk humbly with God. Right? Well, what a great phrase, you know, to walk with God. Right? Just think about how powerful that statement is. You mean you have the ability to walk with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Right? That's pretty incredible when you think about it. But what does it mean to walk with God? Look at Amos. We're going to go to these really common books to read every day. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Verse 1. "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." They weren't really doing good things at this time. Why? Verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Right? You can't really, you know, what does it mean to walk with God? Right? You know, God tells us, well, if you want to walk with me, you have to do what? Agree with me. It's not difficult, right? It's not it's not complicated to walk with God. So if we're going to walk with him, we need to be in agreement with God, right? Agreement with what? God's word. Right? That's what he's told us. You know, it says in Numbers, remember that great verse in Numbers where it talks about God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken it and not make it good? Shall not make it good? Right? You know, if we're going to walk with anybody, God is the best choice because he never lies. When God speaks, it comes to pass. When he says something, that's what it means, right? Right? And that's our God. And here, the Word of God says we can walk with him. Wow, that's pretty incredible. Look at Genesis chapter 5. So what does it mean to walk with anybody? It means to agree with them. Genesis chapter 5. And in verse 22, there's an Enoch, verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Right. It says here Enoch walked with God. That's pretty good. 300 years. "And begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God." He says it twice about this man. Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch, it says in the Word of God, walked with God. Look at Jude, where it mentions Enoch again. All the real obscure books of the Bible today. We hit them all today. Jude Jude 14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. And if you look in the context here, the whole section is talking about the wicked, okay? Not just the simple wicked, but the really wicked, okay? These are the top wicked guys. And it says here, verse 14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What was Enoch talking about? What was he prophesying about? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Right? Probably the one verse has the word ungodly in the most, right? So what was Enoch was prophesying of the coming of Jesus Christ, right? And how he would come in judgment. So when it talks about walking with God, we agree with him. What did he agree with God on? Right? The coming of a Savior. Right? He saw the coming of a Savior. He agreed in the need for a Savior, and therefore Enoch did what? He walked with God. Right? Look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I think we've looked at many, many times in fellowship that if we're going to agree with God on something, we have to agree with him on the work of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Right? Enoch certainly did. Genesis chapter 6, how about Noah? Verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God as well. And here, the rest of the chapter talks about all the things that God asked Noah to do, and which is a very, very difficult search. You know, it had never rained before, right? It hadn't rained in the face of the earth, right? And God just told Noah, by the way, I'm going to pretty much, you know, the earth is done. I'm going to send up, the flood's coming, and it's going to wipe out the entire earth. You know, that's a lot to take in, wouldn't you think? It's not like saying, you know, I'm going to make it rain tonight. No. He said, the earth is done. And so he gave Noah a bunch of instructions on what to do to deal with what's going to happen. Right? By the way, it's interesting. And we just looked at Enoch, right? And he bare Methuselah. Remember Methuselah? And his name means, and it shall come. Right? Remember that? After his death, after the death of Methuselah, the flood came. So it's kind of related to this too. Right? The word Methuselah meant, and it shall come after his death. So, anyhow, side topic. So, all the things Noah asked him to do, it says in verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Did Noah agree with God? All the way down the line, make an ark, do this, yes sir, do this, okay, I'm with you. And guess what he did? He walked with God, right? Not complicated. In chapter 7, again, he asks them, chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for there have I seen, thus for thee have I seen righteous before all me in this generation. Then he asked him to do a bunch of things, and in verse 5, and Noah did according to unto all the Lord commanded him. Right? Noah agreed with God. He agreed with him. God said this. Noah said, yeah, that's good. I'll do that. And guess what? The word of God says he walked with God. Right. Hebrews chapter 11. We got to go to Hebrews. It's neat how it's the word of God bookends all these great men, right? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. It says, but without believing or faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Right? I love this verse. I think a lot of people don't really believe God is. Right? Right? If you really sit down sometime and think about it, right? There's a lot of people who don't believe he is. And I think, how about us sometimes? Do we always believe he is? Right? You know, I love this verse. It's a very simple verse. must come to believe that he is, right? That there is a God, right? You know, that can be something that can cause even believers to doubt in life, right? Maybe they're right. Maybe it's just a waste of time, you know? You can get down that thinking. And what does the Word say? Look, the first step is you got to believe there is a God, right? As soon as you cross that line, wow, lots of things open up, right? Don't ever doubt that one, boy. That will lead to all kinds of problems. So believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You certainly wouldn't be seeking him if you didn't believe that he was, right? So you first believe that he is. And then verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, never saw it, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Right? Just believed God, he trusted him, he listened to what he had said, agreed with him, and the word of God says he walked with God. Right? Look at Matthew chapter 26. Do you think walking with God is easy all the time? Well, a lot of people never even think about doing it, so I guess not. Did Jesus Christ walk with God? Matthew 26. I love this record because it helps me to understand the challenges in walking with God and in agreeing with God. It's not always easy to agree with God, right? You think maybe Moses might have had a few problems agreeing with God when he realized he was saying goodbye to all the riches of Egypt, right? Maybe a little bit of difficulty. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So he's in a very heavy state. I mean, you know, he's going through a lot here. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He goes, do I really have to do this? Did he know what he had to do? What's he doing here? He is talking this through with God. He is trying to agree with God. He is trying to walk with him. And in when we ever have problems, this is a great lesson. You don't go to your, you know, this, that. You go back to God. All the men, Moses and all these, they went back to God. You know, Moses said, God, I can't speak for you. Oh, yes, you can. I can. Yes, you can. I can. Fine. Let your brother speak for you. But he talked it over with God. Right? Abraham went to God. Are you going to destroy everybody? But if there's righteous people there, well, I won't destroy them. You know, 50, 40, 30, 10, whatever, down to one. And here, Jesus Christ goes back to God. Do I really have to do this? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Right? So he subjected his will to the will of God. Right? We have a really hard time with this one if you think Jesus Christ is God. A real hard time. I heard a teaching this week about this very section. Like, well, he could have done everything himself. He knew where everything was going to happen, and therefore I was like, what a bunch of junk. After all, he was in control of everything, and therefore he could have done it, but he didn't do it because he was. I said, oh my gosh, why are you trying to explain around the obvious scripture, right? I just turned it off. Read the paper instead. No, I didn't read the paper. First. Verse 39. And he went a little farther. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. They're having a bit of trouble walking with God. And said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He goes, is there any other way? You know, I love this because I think we go through with this, right? Okay, your word says this. I can't seem to get there, right? Okay, but I'm going to do what your word says. I can't seem to get there, but I'm going to do what your word says. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, okay? He's our Son of God. And he's saying to God, is this the only way? Right. Boy, it really helps me a lot, I'm telling you. You know, I could go through this. I could be in my office walking around, you know, saying, ah, oh, I see that, right? How do I get to that? All right. Let's keep reading. Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again. Okay. You know, I don't know how long that took, but they were fell asleep again, right? For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying what? The same words, right? Man, I love this. I love this verse. It gives me a lot of encouragement here. Jesus Christ, my Savior, the Son of God, who never did wrong, and he had to go, is there any other way? No, okay, I understand. And so guess what? He brought his will in agreement with the will of God. So he walked with God, and he went right down exactly what God wanted him to do. And the way he had read was going to happen to him, right? He knew from Isaiah 53 what was going to happen to him, and he still said, okay, I'm going to do exactly what he walked with God. It's not always easy, is it? Thankfully, we haven't been called to do what Jesus Christ was called to do. But he went to did it. And he said many other things. I do always those things that please the Father. The Word of God says that by he learned obedience by suffering. He learned to obey God, to walk with him, right? He learned obedience by the things which he had suffered, it says somewhere else in the Word. I think Hebrews, right? In the Lord's Prayer, remember the example? Thy will be done, right? The prayer to bring God's will into fruition. He to agree with God, to walk with God, right? Acts 27. How about Paul? I suppose we could read a lot of verses about Paul, right? We'll just read one. Just because it's kind of fun. 27:20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Little spiritual, I told you so. And not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And I love this verse. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Right. Was he in agreement with God? Was it a tough situation? They had given up hope. They thought they were going to die, right? And he receives information, and he says, did Paul walk with God? Oh my goodness, right? How many examples do we have of that? How many times did he bring his will and did he always do it? No, but he worked at it and tried to do it. What did he say at the end of his life? I have kept the right way of believing. I have finished my course, right? He walked with God to the best of his ability. Do we always treat the Word of God that way? Do we always agree with God? Right. Look at Psalm 138, please. There's just some great examples in the Word of men who walked with God, who agreed with him. Because you can't walk with somebody if you don't agree with them. And many times, you know, in our thinking, we're not walking with him because we don't agree with him, right? So our goal is to bring our thinking, our will, into subjection to what the Word of God says consistently and consistently. Psalm 138 verse, look what God says about his Word here. Verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God says that he magnified his word above his name. Right? Do I agree with that in what I think about the word of God? Do I treat this with the respect that it deserves in my life? Right? Or do I just say, well, it's just another book. I'll get to it someday. You know, I got other things to do. I'm kind of busy. I'll get to it. Well, I'll memorize a verse. That ought to please God. Along my other 1,000 rams I'm trying to sacrifice. Right? You know, it's a challenge to me and challenge to all of us. Do I agree with what God's word says? Do I give it the respect? He said he magnified the word above his name. Right? How important do you think he thinks this is for you and for me? Right? Wow, pretty incredible. Proverbs chapter 2, next book. Proverbs 2, talking about walking with God and what we should agree with. It's pretty clear. Chapter 2, verse 1 in Proverbs says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Look at the words path and the way. Talking about walking with God. Here it talks about taking heed to his commandments, understanding his word. And guess what happens? Your way. Doesn't that imply a walk? Where you're walking? Your way is preserved. Verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil. I don't want to go that way, I want to walk with God. Right? From the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Not the path that we want to walk on, we want to go the way of God's word, right? And then it says in, let's read it, Psalm 119, this is a great verse too. How do we walk with him? How do we stay on that path? By taking heed to God's word. Consistently, regularly, and doing what it takes to fight sometimes with our minds to say, is there any other way? But to come back to saying, not my will, God, but your will be done, you know. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? The idea behind that verse is the word is what helps you to walk. To walk with who? Whose word is it? God. You want to walk with God? We got to come back to his word. We got to know what his word says and we got to agree with that word. It's what lights our path in order for us to walk with him. Right? You know, and I've been struggling with Philippians lately, that verse where it talks about be anxious for nothing. I'd say I'd rather be anxious. It's a lot easier to be anxious. A lot harder to. No, actually, it's a lot easier to pray, isn't it? But I'd rather be anxious, right? See, it's always a struggle, right? What does it say? It says, be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? Okay, now you have a choice. You could say, well, I can choose to be anxious. And sometimes, you know what? That's the choice I made. Right? Am I walking with God then? No, I'm walking with Raj, which is, you know, boy, it's hit or miss, and, you know, have fun with that one, right? 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 Yeah. I'd rather walk with God. And you know, the funny thing is, we haven't been called to do what Jesus Christ said, okay? We haven't. I use that as an example to show how a person works with their mind to believe God. Right? In this case, What do I got to do? I just got to pray with thanksgiving and then let it go, right? Look at Matthew 6. Another great section. Matthew 6. There are so many distractions in trying to walk with God. Right. And we'll close there. No. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't even think about it. What you shall eat, this is the same word, anxious anxiety or mental distraction for your life. What you shall eat or what we shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? There's more to life than just food and clothing. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. You know, I love this. What a great blessing for God to write this in here in his word. Just, if you get anxious or worried, just, are there any birds around ever? Didn't God, aren't there birds everywhere? Maybe, well, there are birds in Antarctica too. Penguins, right? They don't really fly, but there are birds everywhere. So when you see a bird, what can you think about? You could think about how much your God cares for you, how much our Father cares for us. Right? What a great example. Look at a bird. God takes care of us. There they are flying around. They get fed. They don't care that your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Right? What a great thing to think about when you see a bird. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Make yourself grow. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, they neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Just by natural, with God's blessing, they're just beautiful. Right? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith, right? You know, he's taking care of that grass and the birds and the lilies. How much more does he care for us, right? We have to agree with this. If we're going to allow him to take care of us, we have to agree with what the Word of God says here, right? And not be mentally distracted for all the things of life, because there are a lot of them, right? Therefore, verse 31, if you want to agree with this, take no thought, saying what, no mental distraction, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The nations in general are preoccupied with that all the time, right? I want to walk with God. I don't want to be preoccupied with that stuff. I want to walk with him. I want to be in agreement with him. Right? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows. But seek ye first. So instead of doing all that, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? I want to walk with him. I want to seek God's kingdom first. And his righteousness. That's what I want to do. I want to agree with God so then all the other things will be taken care of. Right? Take therefore no thought for the morrow, no mental distraction. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. Right? It says, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. There's enough to think about today. So, you know, walking with God literally is a thought-by-thought process, right? As soon as you see that obscure thought come into your mind about, oh, I get anxious. No, not my will, but your will. What's your will? Your will is I seek you first, and don't be distracted about those things. Those things shall be added. If I get distracted about those things, then that's not going to work. Then I'm out of whack. I'm anxious. Forget it. Not going to be anxious. See, it's a thought by thought. Jesus Christ said, don't just take no thought. There's enough to think about right now. Enough to do to walk with him, right? We'll close in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, and we're so blessed. I mean, in this administration, what is one of the greatest things you can do to walk with God? speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues all day. You can speak in tongues. You know, remember that verse in Hebrews talks about he must believe that he is? Well, you know what? There's a little checkup. Can I speak in tongues? Yeah. Okay, yeah, there he is. He's still there. He's good. We're good. Base is pretty simple. Now I can build upon that for my next thought. But it's true. You know, it's a wonderful blessing. We could not speak in tongues if God hadn't raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what the Word says. It would not have been possible. The Spirit would not have been given. We would not be able to do it. As soon as you can do that, you are declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the certainty of all of God's promises. Wow, what a blessing to be able to speak in tongues and to walk with God just so simply, right? And on top of that, God gives us so many other things, so many blessings. You know, I love it. I just think it's a great way to walk with Him. 1 Peter 5:5. We started off by Micah, where it talks about to love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with thy God. We'll close with humility too. Likewise, verse 5, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. We started with humility, we'll finish with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, so therefore, if I have cares in my life, and I've not done this, I'm not walking with him, right? Because the Bible tells me, if I want to walk with him, I'm supposed to agree with him. And what does he say? He tells me to cast all my care upon him. So I got to cast. If I want to walk with God, I just got to cast it to him. And we just read all of Matthew, the section of Matthew there talks about how much he cares for us, right? And he says it again. He cares for us. We know that. We just read it. Maybe we need to repeat it to ourselves. Jesus Christ asked 3 times, right? The Son of God approached God 3 times to see, was there any other way, right? It might take us more than once or twice to hear that he cares for us, right? To believe it. Casting all your care, for your care, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, editing paper articles, and all that kind of stuff. Verse 9, whom there resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What a joy to be able to walk with him. You know, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Settle that wonderful peace that comes. You're just settled. You walk with him. And we were taught, walking with him is just, it's just a walk. You walk with him day, moment by moment, day by day. And all it is us learning to agree with what the Word of God says. And that word specifically to us has to do with all that Jesus Christ has accomplished and all the blessings that abound. Just like the way Enoch walked with him, the word to him was of the coming of the Messiah. And he agreed with God. To Noah, Abraham, all these men, that was the word, and they agreed with God. Right. And verse 11, to him, God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right. What a joy to be even allowed to walk with the Creator of the heavens and the earth, right? What a blessing. So our goal, agree with what the Word says, right? It's that simple.